Welcome to episode 21 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. This week's show comes to you from the comfort of the office. Not mine, but that of photographer, writer and lecturer Hugh Graham, who I've known since studying for my photography degree some years ago. This is the first of a new occasional series of conversations between Hugh and I, and on this occasion we're discussing the topic of how photographers get their education. At the centre of our chat is the simple question of whether the traditional route, such as university, is the way to learn and to get into the industry. Would you be better off undertaking an apprenticeship, for example, or simply teaching yourself and knocking on doors? So let's get straight into it. Welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 21. In the deepest, darkest corner of Sales in West Sussex, I am with Hugh Graham, Dr. Hugh Graham, my long-time friend, colleague, and one-time lecturer. Is that a big enough build-up for you, Hugh?
Yes,
I
think so. Yeah,
Hugh Graham, who is one of the country's most prolific freelancers. We've known each other since I was at university. Hugh was one of my lecturers on a module in my photography degree, which was working as a freelance. And frankly, it was one of the most useful, if not the most useful modules that we did, because it was all about the real world and all about how to make money from your camera, which has stood me in quite good stead, it turns out. What we're going to talk about today is on that topic, the idea of education and whether a photography education, a qualification, is actually necessary, because it's one of these things a lot of people, they get to a point where they think they need to study because it's going to forward them, get them into the industry. But you speak to the people that are doing this day in, day out, and often the opinion is quite different. So, Hugh, tell me your immediate thoughts on this.
Well, you're probably far closer to university than I am, because I gave up lecturing shortly after you graduated. From what I understand from the Chichester Technical College, they are still starting off students with learning how to use an exposure meter, a handheld exposure meter, processing the film in a wet dark room, which strikes me as a sort of complete waste of time, because in the first place, no one is using film cameras anymore, and no one is using dark rooms, unless, of course, you've got the dinosaurs who are still clinging to film, and also because I think they like the smell of chemicals in the darkroom and getting their fingers smelling like old fish tanks.
And I think one of the good things to come of that experience of having to shoot film or having to develop film, looking back into traditional photography, understanding exposure, having to judge light and all that is always going to be useful. It's what underlines what we do. But as you said, do you think it's the case that purely from a financial sense, it's easier for the universities, I suppose it must be, to say, look, go down to the secondhand camera shop, get a film camera, they're dead cheap now, and that saves them having to spend a fortune on digital suites and what have you?
I'm sure that's part of the answer. In any case, most of the colleges in this country have still got wet and dry dark rooms, and the bean counters who run the university economy won't want to write this stuff off. And since if you're going to put high-end Photoshop complexes in, you're going to be looking at monitors which are going to be at least 21 and maybe 27 inches in size, and they're going to be high quality monitors in order to get the colour right. So the investment, if they're going to do photography properly, is huge. And so I think most of them have avoided this, and they're still trundling out wet and dry courses.
And I think, thinking back to when I was studying, and we're talking, I mean, it's a good 10 years, 11 years or so ago now, you had the the digital suite, such as it was all Mac-based, which for a lot of us, we hadn't used Macs.
Yeah.
And there wasn't the training infrastructure there to support this. So we're kind of lost in that, even something as simple as scanning a print.
Mm-hmm.
The monitors, if you tap the side of them, they went from having a slight magenta cast to a slight green cast because they weren't calibrated properly, but no one really knew. So the technicians didn't have a better idea.
The other problem was that computers were still very much an IT function.
Mm.
And so you had the computer boffins who had a working knowledge of Photoshop, who were trying to teach photography to people who were trying to learn from photographers,
mm.
who wanted nothing to do with Photoshop and were still stuck in the dark room.
Mm.
So there were in those days huge gaps in a student's education because the tutor probably was still wanting to get his fingers wet in developer, fixer, and the wash,
mm.
and very few of them wanted to get involved with digital photography, and some of them actually said it won't last.
And also, half of them weren't actually practicing photographers themselves. The True. Head of department, when I was there, let's mention no names, mm. but he was a graphic designer. He didn't know how to find his way around a camera, so there wasn't the support.
Yeah.
There. So I mean, you obviously we've touched on there. This idea of, you know, if you are wanting to get your education as a photographer, where do you go? Now, a lot of people would say, look, if you know at that age that you want to do, say, fashion photography, you're better off going somewhere like London or possibly now Manchester, that you can go and work in a studio. You won't necessarily be paid at all, or if you are, it's frankly a pittance to actually assist, but you get the contacts, you get the experience, you learn on your feet, you get to use all the kit, the accessories, the facilities there, and that is a far better training. Now, for those people listening that would want to know how I came to be working with you, Hugh, you said to me throughout our modules, I was always the kid that was always first in the morning, sober, unlike many of my colleagues. I was always last out after our classes, but I would often come up to you at the end of what we've just spoken about and say, look, can we meet up in the cafe to continue our conversation? Or, you know, I didn't understand quite what was being said here, this, that and the other. And you said to me at that time, look, when you graduated, you live, when you're back home, you live sort of quite close to me. If ever you need any advice or anything, let me know. So off the back of that, one day I did get in touch, and long story short, you gave me an introduction into wedding photography, which gave me a good regular income and good training. But that and essentially that was an apprenticeship of sorts for wedding photography. Now, how if people aren't wanting to go to work into a studio, they'd say they want to be a commercial photographer or an advertising photographer working with local companies, marketing companies, where do you think, given the whole, you know, the fact that they're going to have to invest in equipment and think about digital if it's quite new to them, where does a recent graduate now start, do you think?
Well, I think you're asking the wrong question. I think the first question is, why should I be an undergraduate? Do I need to go to university to study photography at all?
So, okay, well, let's rephrase that and say, if someone had their head screwed on and didn't spend 3 years and thousands of pounds worth of debt studying, only to find themselves at the end of it with very slim chances of going into the industry, what is the best option for them to train up as a commercial photographer? Where do they turn?
Okay. Before we actually start that one,
mm-hmm.
define commercial photographer.
Well,
what is a commercial? Or are you actually saying someone who earns their money professionally by taking pictures, and therefore it doesn't matter how they do it?
Okay. Well, let's take that stance then, yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, I say, first of all, I don't actually think that a university degree is helpful, other than the fact it gets you two letters after your name, and you can get that from going to OU or attending OU. Hmm. However, no one has ever bought any of my pictures because I had a degree.
Hmm.
And has anybody ever bought any of your pictures because you went to where you went to, and because you have a BSc or a BA or whatever it is you've got?
No, and in fact, I think I've only ever been asked three times in the last 10, 12 years what qualifications I've got. And I've always said, do you like your pictures, or do you like what you see in my portfolio? Oh, yes, very nice. Well, there's my qualification.
Right. So, asking you another question, which is quite strange, because since you're supposed to be interviewing me, this is getting a bit out of control. do you think that your degree was a waste of time?
I am one of these delightfully philosophical people whereby I would say I don't think it was a waste of time, because I feel that I did gain something out of it. By the mere fact that we're having this conversation, I've kept my contact with you, and that's helped me out, and I know that
mm-hmm.
I've helped you out along. It's mutually beneficial. In terms of would I do it again, no.
Okay.
I certainly wouldn't do it where I did it, because if I had known then what I do now about the sort of work that I wanted to be undertaking, I think there are other universities that their courses were better suited to what I do now. But if I had to be blanket sort of opinion about this, would I study again? No, I wouldn't. I would not.
I don't know of any university course in photography now that doesn't actually start off with a traditional route of wet and dry photography, film cameras, and learning how to use handheld exposure meters.
Mm.
And that is not how people are going to earn their living if they're going to become professional photographers. So at least the first year is completely wasted.
Mm.
It does help, of course, if the student has some clear idea of what sort of photography they want to do.
Mm.
And it has to be said that if you're going to go to a university course and you're going to study photography, hopefully, at some point during that three-year period, somewhere a light bulb's going to go off, and the guy's going to say, or the girl's going to say, I want to be such and such a sort of photographer.
Well, for me, I can tell you that my first year, complete disillusionment. Didn't know what I was... I knew what I was doing, but there was a lot of banging your head against the wall type moments. And of course, the first year doesn't count for anything.
Mm.
There's no much. You literally have to just get through that to get to the second year. It was not until about halfway through the second year that I actually started to think, this sort of photography that I'm producing is a sort of thing that I want to be doing. Now, at that time, because there was this kind of emphasis that students were going to graduate from this course, they'd all move to London and make their money working for the likes of, at the time, Q magazine or The Face or Dazed and Confused, all these trendy fashion stroke culture magazines. That's the sort of work that everyone was producing, overexposed pictures, calling it arty, and all the usual things. I hit on this notion that I quite liked more, the sort of documentary, recording the world more honestly, more realistically, and that was kind of my approach. But that took me 2.5 years of a three-year course before I actually felt anywhere near content with what I was producing.
So in a sense then, the university education didn't work for you, because it eventually showed you what you wanted to do. Do you think you would have come to that conclusion without going to university?
That's difficult to answer, because I didn't have a clue.
That's why I asked the question.
Yeah, of course. Some things never change. But that is tricky, because I didn't have a clue. I wouldn't have known how to start up my business and how to go about it. But then that's only because I'd never had to think about that. If I actually had to, me being me, I would have found people to ask and take guidance from. So it may have taken me, longer, I don't know. It may have been quicker.
Going off on another divergent tack, how many students were in your year?
The final graduate numbers, I think, were something like 34.
How many of those are now working photographers?
Less than 2%.
What's that in numbers?
I'm not a mathematician. Right, I mean, if I think right, how many people do I remember, and how many people have, how many of those are working? I have one friend who's working for one of the photography magazines. I think he's selling advertising space. I know a couple of people that are photographers, both in London and in other parts of Europe. They're quite, but then they already had a few leads to begin with.
Fine.
But so many people, they're working for the NHS or for petrol companies. They're not doing anything at all to do with photography.
So
maybe 2% is an optimistic statistic. Because I was told when I graduated that at most 3% of graduates would go on to work in the industry. I think last I heard, and it was a few years ago, it was up to about 4 to 5%.
So what's the point? So what is the point of a photographic degree if only 3%? That's,
well, it comes down
in any other industry, that would be fraud.
Well, it's a lack of education at the point where people are deciding where to take their life after
college.
Okay,
so well, then let me ask you another question. And this will relate heavily to conversations that you had with your contemporaries. Do you think they said, well, if I'm going to get on in this world, I need a BA after my name. Therefore, I might as well pick something that looks fun, interesting, because that's all I need, a BA.
Well, I'll tell you why 95% of the people joined that course is because it was photography and it was cool.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. We were told within our first week, we were about, I think it was the first or even, if it wasn't the first, it was definitely the second day that we're there. And our tutors introduced themselves and they said, look, this course is really, every year, it's always really oversubscribed. Would any of you like to go and do fine art?
Yeah.
And a few people did. They switched over because they could still do photography,
yeah,
and essentially produce the same work. But for me, I'd always loved photography. I having picked up a camera when I was 9 and self-taught and just had it as a hobby all the way through. That was the logical step, I thought, at the time, to go through university and what have you. So for me, it was the logical thing in my mind at that time, it was the logical thing to do.
Yeah.
But some people, I think, given that photography certainly was, probably still is, one of, if not the most expensive degrees that you can do because of, going right back to our initial point, the need to buy materials constantly, you could do yourself a lot of favours by not doing that course.
And you can't actually do the course successfully unless you own your own cameras, can you?
No. And so if people are spending out, I mean, you and I both know that the cost of technology, cameras, what have you, has dropped. So that it is more affordable. But equally, if you are fresh out of college and you're wanting to go to university, and as we did, you get given a list of things you need to buy. We were told to buy 5x4 dark slides and stuff, never used them. We were told to buy all sorts of things that never came into the equation. They're not now, I would imagine, going to say, maybe they would, I don't know, buy a entry-level DSLR camera. But equally, as I say, if you wanted to...
No, what they're still doing is they're still telling you to buy and build by your own development tank.
Mm.
And really, they are. Because Jake's just gone through this.
And Jake is your grandson. Yeah.
So it's absolutely stupid. If any youngster came to me and said, I am fascinated and determined to have a career in photography, I would go and suggest that they could got themselves an apprenticeship.
Hmm.
Now, it might not be called that now, but I think that you, first of all, if anybody's that keen on photography, they will have a rough idea of what sort of photography they want to do.
Hmm.
Therefore, they would sort out someone in the photographic world that they admire, and they go, or maybe several people, and they go knocking on the door, and say, I'm prepared to come and work for you for 3 years for nothing.
Mm.
If you're going to teach me everything you know about photography. And I can't see, actually, that they would be any worse off than spending 3 years at university, because by that time they would have learned all the photographer's tricks, they would have met all the photographer's clients, they over a period of 3 years they would build up their own clientele, and at the end of 3 years they would either, if they were any good, be offered a partnership with that photographer. Alternatively, they'd be well set up with enough equipment, because they would be been buying decent second-hand stuff on the way along, and they would be well equipped to set off on their own after 3 years. And that is my way of ensuring that a photographer gets a proper training. I don't believe that there is any substitute for actually watching a master work and working with him.
It's interesting. I was put Focus on Imaging a number of weeks ago, and on one of the stand there they had Eddie Ephraim's master printer.
Yeah,
and
sure.
he's just done a very good book actually with Joe Cornish, where I think for about 2 or 3 years they've been long time friends, and he'd documented Joe out doing his landscape photographs. And I went up to Eddie and I said to him, I said, you probably have no frame of reference for this, but when I was at college, my careers advisor went and did one of your workshops, and you, through her, gave me some Kodak Tri-X film to go and, you know, play with. And I said, yeah, it's just nice to, you know, meet you and sort of all the rest of it. Now, if I was switched on and I knew now what I did then, my immediate thoughts would be, have you got his number, or have you got the phone number of whoever represents him for these workshops? I'd like to go and have a chat. And that's exactly what you're saying. That would have bypassed all of... Now, my education officer at college, of course, actually, this was at school, even. This is at school. She was doing her job. She ushered one kid at a time into the classroom and said, right, what do you want to do with your life after school? And she actually said to me, look, I shouldn't tell you this, but if you love photography, you should follow it up. So she had a chance at that point to say, it's bloody difficult if you're, you know, wanting to, but she encouraged me, and that's what I wanted to hear at the time, and what have you. But no, it's I always have a slight sort of cringe factor when I hear people say, oh, I'm just about to go off to university and study photography, and you think, are you looking at me thinking one day I'm going to be like you and I'm going to be making my career from photography? Because it's 3 years is a long time to do something that isn't going to get you what you think it's going to do. I mean, it's been a hard slog for me after university to build up my business and all the things that go with it. But as I say, would either of us recommend someone goes to university? No. Would we recommend that people make phone calls, send emails, and hope that a photographer is like-minded like us that want to help people out?
Well, they will. I mean, they all do.
Mm.
I mean, if you actually had a... Come on, let me ask you a question. You're a working photographer now.
Mm-hmm.
If someone came along to you and said, Charles, I want to do your sort of photography, I am very happy to come and work with you for nothing for 3 years, what would your answer be?
Well, it does happen. People do approach me and I say, yeah, sure. You know, I much like you did for me, I would say, can I see some of your work, what you're doing, or sort of, or even pictures that you like, the sort of pictures that you want to be producing.
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely, because it's all about giving back. And I'd much rather someone spent even 3 weeks with me, and those 3 weeks would be enough to inform them and give them a positive but realistic expectation
of what it's like.
Funnily enough, I was had a conversation last night with someone whereby I've gone into schools and colleges to speak to the kids about, you know, my career and what I do, and I've, you know, people see the kit that you have there as props, and they see your pictures, which are all very exciting, and you can see their eyes lighting up thinking, this is what I want to do. And I say to them, I say, look, it's fantastic. I would not change it. I love what I do, but it's really hard work. It's, you're going to have to work so hard to get into the industry. I don't want to dissuade them, but I'd rather be honest. And of course, there's that, I know you've in the past, and you won't mind me saying this, have come to blows with tutors because you're trying to be honest to the kids, and that's not on the agenda necessarily with colleges and universities.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, if anyone approaches me, I will always I will always reply to any emails and have a conversation with someone.
The problem that I think that most photography graduates discover as soon as they have graduated is they're not actually qualified to do anything.
Hmm.
They have a degree in photography, but they have not developed a specialisation.
Hmm.
They really have no contacts in that specialist field. They are, to all intents and purposes, beginning again.
Hmm.
And not many of them will survive, because most of them haven't got either the determination or the enthusiasm or the contacts to actually continue to make an attempt to establish themselves in photography as a career.
And what do you think, I mean, because even in the last 10 years, the difference between now and then, just in terms of resources, the internet has opened up, there's blogs and podcasts and all this information online, which back then, anything that I mean, then obviously there was the internet, but not in the form that we see it now with so much social media and everything. Do you think that it is, do you think that in itself offers more opportunity? Or do you think
the answer is yes and no, which you would obviously expect from me.
Of course.
No, because the publishing industry, and that was the sector that I was interested in, books, magazines and newspapers, had been taken over by the bean counters.
Mm.
The bottom line of profit and loss sheets rule the budgets for buying photography and buying journalism. The problem with that is people will buy quantity rather than quality. And since the bean counters have learned that university graduates will work for nothing in order to get what they laughably refer to as a portfolio, it means that people who are established in the industry are finding it very hard to find work.
Mm.
So in one sense, getting started is much more difficult because the opportunities are not there in the way that they were when I was beginning.
Mm.
The internet, however, has created all sorts of opportunities because you can create your own websites to sell your own work. You can run blogs. You can run pieces on Facebook, all of which can draw attention, your attention or the attention of your work to a much wider audience. Some of whom are going to say, "Ah, oh, I like that guy or I like that girl. I'd like to try her out, and so let's give her a ring to see whether she could do the pictures that we want."
Mm.
And therefore, I think the opportunity is far wider. I think the units, the financial units that you're selling are much smaller.
Mm.
So you have to sell far more units in order to make the same sort of money that we did, for example.
So, okay then, Hugh, let's sum up our thoughts. The whole education system, yes or no, is it flawed?
It's completely flawed, but it's flawed for two reasons. Firstly, the universities are fighting budgets, and therefore they're having to use equipment which is effectively out of date, and that means they're actually teaching stuff which is absolutely useless to most photographic students. So yeah, in that sense it's flawed. However, you're a classic example of how it isn't flawed, because during that 3-year period, you were able to decide what sort of photography you wanted to do.
Mm.
So in that sense, yeah, I think that works. I still think that the best way of learning photography, if that is what you are determined to earn your living at, is to find a photographer who is prepared to take you on as a student. And even if you work for that chap for 3 years for nothing, which won't actually happen, because if you become useful, then he's going to find some way of paying you in the second year. But you're going to wind up with your proper training, with cash in the bank, and you won't have a student loan.
Mm.
That's how I would go. The other thing, of course, which is really important, when I started at university, the civil service, the medical profession, the solicitors, lawyers, the whole industry was self-regulating. The civil service wouldn't take anybody in that there wasn't a vacancy for, neither were the barristers, neither were the solicitors. So if there were 694 vacancies or 6,954 vacancies in the civil service, and you took the civil service exam and you were in that number, then you got in. If you were three out, you didn't make it, and you had to wait the following year. But it meant that people were not trained for jobs that were that didn't exist. And if you actually look at the number of media students in years of university at this time, it's three times the number of actual places in the industry.
Yeah.
So a huge number of kids have got no chance of ever working in the media industry.
That's some interesting thoughts. I think we'll leave it there. And of course, anyone that's got their own opinions should definitely leave a message in the comments section or drop me an email. And if you've got any questions for Hugh, I'm sure I can sort of forward them on. And who knows, maybe we'll have another discussion another day following up on the onslaught, the barrage of people who are up in arms about our opinions about photography and education. So thanks, Hugh. Thanks very much.
Yeah, my pleasure.
I'm sure you all have your own thoughts, and of course I'd really like to hear from you. Drop your comments in the comments section of the show notes, and you never know, we might even get a bit of a discussion going. Now just before I sign off, I want to give you guys a quick reminder about the giveaway competition which I told you about last week. And for those of you that don't know, one of the reviews I wrote a couple of weeks ago was of a book, The Rough Guide to Camping in Britain, which I found to be a great resource for both camping enthusiasts and photographers who are looking to find new outdoor places from which to base their activities. Now, thanks to the lovely people at Rough Guides, I have a copy of this book to give away to whoever can provide the best caption to the photograph shown on the giveaway page. All the details are there, so all you have to do is follow the link in the show notes for more information. Just remember though, your entry has to be submitted by 11:59 PM, that's GMT, on Thursday the 12th of May 2011 in order to be considered. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, of course I'm on Twitter, at Giles Babbage. You can check out my Facebook page, Giles Babbage Photography, or of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.